Good evening. So good to be back with you again and to be on another series. And we've started, as from last week, on Jailbroken Lessons in Living Free. And tonight we want to cover a lesson in bondage, and we want to discuss the experiences of Paul that he had with Onesimus and Philemon. And so we're going to go into a bit of detail tonight. But before we do that, how about we open in prayer and commit this time to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much that we can be in your presence, that you speak to your people, that each and every one of us that listen tonight, we would hear what you have to say. Draw us closer to you. Help us to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so just as a jailbroken electric device has been unlocked to do things that it shouldn't be able to, we too have been empowered by God to do what we shouldn't be able to, and that's to live a free and redeemed life. The book of Philemon shows us how to be free and live in a community with others. And so in the book of Philemon, Paul shared insights into the lessons he learned into his own bondage. Through Paul's insight, we can get a better understanding of the problem of sin. And as we all know, how to be saved by grace. And I suppose a good way to look at something is, have you ever had a debt? Are you still in a debt? And do you know what a debt is? You don't have to be a scholar to really think about this one. It's either sum of money that is owed. It's that's as simply as a debt. And in order to have a debt, you know, we have to borrow something. And in the first place, we therefore owe what we have borrowed. And that's what a debt is. You owe something. And so this then leads on to the next principle. Have you ever had a debt that pays interest? And you know, interest is a charge for the privilege of borrowing money. It's what you pay on top of the debt that is owed. You know, this is how institutions like banks, for example, make their money. And this is done by lending it to you in the first place, so they make a little bit of money by interest. And so we ask the question, is interest free a fair thing? You know, should we have to pay interest? And I suppose it comes down to personal opinion here, but my thoughts are that I think it's only fair that whoever lends you the money deserves to make some money, as they're providing you with a service so that you can make purchases that otherwise would have been out of your reach. And so they're providing a service, and so they deserve to be paid for that service. And so what kind of feelings do we associate with being in debt to others, you know? And how does it feel to owe something to someone else? I know when I owe something to someone, it always sticks in the back of my mind, you know, that there's something due, there's something there that I have to do something about. It's not a nice feeling to have that outstanding debt that needs to be paid. It just lingers there, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's almost like that feeling of when you walk into your house, there's a mess that sits there, and after a while it bothers you so much that you actually have to clean it up. You actually deal with it. And this is a bit like debt. You know, we have that feeling that we want to deal with it. And so this is what it's about, debt and paying off debts and owing. And we're talking about the book of Philemon tonight, and we're talking about Onesimus. And we're going to cover a little bit about this principle. And we know that Jesus paid it all. We've heard that song, and we know it's true. Jesus paid our debt for us. And so that what we can become free, that we can live a free life. And so Paul tonight, as we're going to discuss, wants Philemon to be free. And so we're going to carry that on. In Philemon chapter 1 and verses 1 to 10, let's read that scripture together. Philemon 1 verses 1 to 10. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow labourer, and to our beloved Aphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in the house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Last week we began our discussion of the book of Philemon by focusing on the relationship between Onesimus and Philemon, two men Paul was seeking to reconcile. We examined the context of the book, and we began examining some of the messages Paul was seeking to communicate to his target audience, Philemon. Paul indicated that the love of Christ that Philemon had come to know should rightfully be extended to Onesimus. For Philemon, brotherly love meant releasing Onesimus. For Onesimus, it meant resolving any hostility he had left towards his old master, Philemon. They had to learn to be brothers. And so given the new conditions of their salvation. And so Paul's in this text, he's trying to encourage Philemon to say, hey, look, it's time to free Onesimus because you have been freed by the blood of Jesus. And so extend this grace to your brother. Paul could discuss this, you know, because he understood what it meant to be imprisoned through circumstance. By this time in his ministry, Paul had developed the ability to sympathize with others who had been bound and enslaved because he too had experienced bondage in prison. So he refers to himself as Paul the aged and Paul a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, perhaps adding further weight to his views that given his advanced years and what he had been through, he feels he understands what Onesimus is going through. Even Paul, when he was an actual prisoner, only saw himself as a prisoner of Jesus. In other words, he was completely sold out to Jesus and forever in his favour. That's powerful. And we are forever in his favour. We are forever sold out to Jesus. That's important to remember. In the latter chapters of the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 23, Paul was taken captive by the Roman officials because his presence in Jerusalem proved offensive to the Jews. You know, while in custody, Paul was transported by boat to Asia. Paul experienced and survived a massive storm, shipwreck, and a poisonous snake bite. Despite all of this, Paul was convinced God's will was being performed and his imprisonment was a part of God's plan for his life. And it's so important to remember that not everything in life has to be about being broken and damaged and nothing is working. Sometimes things happen in life so that we would draw closer to God. Because through that brokenness and through that hurt, God can do works. God can use you. Because otherwise, you may never have been used in that area. And so Paul was convinced that him being in prison was the place that God wanted him to be so he could reach others in that condition. And that's exactly what had happened here. Paul was unjustly put in prison. You know why? He was put in there out of jealousy and pride of the other Jews who did not believe his views on the Lord Jesus Christ. Through this persecution, Paul realized that his experiences gave him a unique insight and a platform to speak about offense to his audience and followers. And in this particular occasion, to Philemon. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21 to 31, it says here, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we have been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In death, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not." In this passage, Paul wrote about his experience of suffering and the lessons of his bondage. He did this for effect, but he exaggerated the significance of his experience to make a point. Bondage, pain, and trials are things everyone has to overcome in life. Not one of us is immune to troubles, sickness, or hurt. These things will come, but we are not alone because we have God's help and we can overcome and live a victorious life. Paul went through all of that, everything he went through. And you know what he said? He counted it all but dung. He counted it as nothing. Why? So that he could win the excellency of Jesus, that he could win the favor of God. And that's why he called himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, because he was forever in his favor. And I thank God for the words of Paul that he wrote. And so remarkably, while Paul was in prison, he actually wrote a series of letters known as the prison epistles: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and finally his letter to Philemon. Thus, his experiences had given him a lot to say. I'm so glad he wrote these epistles, as they give a great insight into how Paul was doing, but also about spiritual lessons learned through his experiences in prison. In the book of Ephesians, one of Paul's letters from prison, Paul commented that Jesus Christ teaches us how to live free of the bondage of sin. Isn't that great? We can live free from sin. In Ephesians 4, 17 to 20, and I'm going to read from the NLT version. It says, "With the Lord's authority I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Verse 20, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Paul argued that the Gentiles who didn't know Jesus were forced to live in conditions of darkness and were becoming insensitive to God and His work in their lives. The result was the conditions of their bondage were getting worse and worse, not better. And it's no different today. People out there, they live to themselves. They live for what can I get? For what can I get for myself? And they live selfishly, so to speak. And they do whatever pleases them. Whatever goes, that's what they do. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about, that they're darkening their lives and things are not improving and they're wondering why. They need Jesus. They need a Saviour. They need one who can forgive. This is the nature of sin. Not only do habitual cycles of sin not improve on their own, but they also tend to get much worse as the time elapses. And as the quote goes, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Paul illustrated this principle with the image of people attempting to walk even though they are blind and unable to feel things, how they can come to know and understand God. Paul noted that the result was greedy, filthy lifestyle that more completely separated them from God. Anyone who has lived in the experience of this bondage will know what that sin feels like. We know what the accusation of our own conscience feels like. We've made a mistake. If we don't do something about it, we'll eventually stop feeling that guilt altogether. And so the more you repeatedly do something that is sinful, that is wrong, the less the sting feels of guilt. It no longer bothers you the way it used to bother you. It no longer gives you that impression upon your mind that you need to do something about it. You become so conditioned to it that you just do it without feeling, without thought. And this is not a place that God would have us come to, but He would have us in a place of repentance, in a place where we come before the Lord every day and say, Lord, I need Your help. Forgive me. We need to be careful that this sin doesn't become our prison. And not only that, it doesn't become our prison for eternity. In Ephesians 4:20 that we read, but that isn't what you have learned about Christ. Paul noted that although many in the world live with these conditions continually, Christ taught that we can live differently. In the next verses, Paul gave advice from his own experience with dealing with sin. In Ephesians 4:22 to 32, reading a lot of scripture tonight, but praise God, that's what a Bible study is, scripture. In Ephesians 4, and beginning at verse 22, and once again I'm going to read from NLT, it says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by the lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbours the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hand for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Stop talking with and interacting with the same people and old habits that you had when you weren't saved. These are the summaries of the verses that we read, and that's just from verse 22. And in verse 23, if we look at that, it says we need to find opportunities to renew ourselves and encourage ourselves spiritually in verse 23 and 24. And we need to make sure that we do that. You know, Pastor Jonathan just recently spoke about encouraging himself in the Lord. And that's talking about King David. And we need to do that. We need to make sure we encourage ourselves in God by reading His word, by being active in His kingdom, by being in the house of the Lord when we can, so that we can be in the fellowship of the saints, so that we can have the right atmosphere and the right attitude ingrained into our spiritual lives. And in verse 25, we need to stop lying. Begin to speak the truth to your family and friends. You know, it's too easy to tell a lie. It's too easy just to let something out and not think anything of it. We need to be truthful in everything we say, and not just say, but what we do. We need to be doing that around our friends, especially around our families, especially around the ones we love, and then also as a witness to everybody else out there, because they read us and seeing what we do. And when you find yourself getting angry, don't let that lead to sin. Instead, do what you can to resolve the conflicts in a godly way. And I think that's important. You know, if you have a problem with your brother or with your sister, the Bible says between he and thee alone. Solve it. Try and work out to come to some arrangement. Forgive one another, and this is what the principle is tonight. Learn to forgive and to let go, and let God deal with it. And we need to make sure that we don't allow the devil to have a foothold through our anger. We need to make sure that he's kicked out of every situation and God's invited into every situation. That's important. And Paul, obviously addressing the church, he says, stop stealing. Start working hard so you can give to others. We need to make sure that we're not willing to just take handouts every time, but we're actually working hard, and that we're not being busybodies. We're not doing things that we shouldn't be doing, but we are kept busy doing things for the kingdom of God. And finally, we need to talk about good things and not evil things. Work to keep bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness out of our spirits by being kind and forgiving to those who offend us. And you know, forgiveness is a hard thing. But I believe if you put it into the hands of God, God will help you. It's not worth carrying around the scars of unforgiveness. I know, I spent many years living with a particular bit of unforgiveness in my life as a young person. And God dealt with me one day and he said, you've got to let that go. You can't keep holding on to that because eventually it will destroy your life. And I still remember sitting down in the kitchen of our house as a young person. And I put my knees up and I put my head down and I began to cry. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to forgive. And God began to move on me and his spirit moved in my life and in my heart. And in that moment, I felt the spirit of God and he said, let me have it. Let me deal with it. And I gave it over to Jesus. I gave over my hurt. I gave over my pain and I had to let it go and I did. And I began to walk with the Lord knowing that I had forgiven. And more importantly, I had realized how much I had been forgiven. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his mercy, that I was no longer a prisoner of bitterness, but I became a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, just like Paul. There's an illustration. All are like a little boy who went into the pantry. His mother could hear him get the cookie jar down from the shelf. She called to him and said, Willie, what are you doing? The little boy replied, I'm fighting with temptation. If the little boy understood his heart and the power of sin, he wouldn't have allowed himself to be drawn into the pantry. We need to live our lives that God has given us, not tangled up in temptation and being drawn away from them, by them, out of the will of God and into the prison called sin. The best way to avoid sin is not to be around it to start with. Don't give in to temptation. Flee from temptation. Don't let it get a hold of you. Put it in the hands of God and say, in Jesus' name, I have authority over this, whatever that may be. Do not place yourself into situations where there could be compromises on what God has said and what we should do. Think about it. If Philemon and Onesimus were to practice these commandments in their own walks with God and in their relationship with one another, what would happen? Philemon would release Onesimus from the debt. Onesimus would forgive Philemon. Onesimus and Philemon would be able to receive one another as brothers in Christ. How wonderful is that? The cycle of sin and offense would be stopped. The devil would be without a seat in their relationship. And that's important. The only seat that you want filled is Jesus in that seat in your relationship. Jesus needs to be the center of it all. He can't be on the periphery. He can't be on the outside. He can't be the guy that's just sitting in the back seat. He needs to be in the driver's seat. He needs to be the one that is the center of your life. The awkwardness and guilt and debt would be resolved by the forgiveness and kindness required of a spirit-filled believers. God would be glorified in the wake of this conflict between these two men. Paul was able to ponder many lessons while in prison. He understood offense because he had been offended. He understood being an offender because he was guilty of being one. From his position as a church leader, he had come to know Philemon. From his position as a prisoner, he had come to know Onesimus. To join Philemon and Onesimus together, to unite them in Christ, was the least that he could do considering all he had learned from his experiences with sin and salvation. And Paul had gone through a lot in his life. He had seen a lot in his life. He had been around a lot in his life. And as we read earlier, he had gone through many things. Shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead. He'd done all of those things. And yet, he still realized that he was in God's favor forever. And this is what we want. We want to have a life where we're in God's favor. And in order to do that, we need to live according to the way that God wants us to live. We need to live in a manner that is befitting of a Christian man and a Christian woman, a Christian young person, whatever that may be, a Christian. We need to live like God wants us to live. Now, I thank Jesus that he has brought me this far, that he has taught me many lessons on forgiveness. And he has taught me that when I forgive a debt, and I'm letting that debt go. And likewise, when God had forgiven me, he forgave me of a debt so great that I was never able to repay that debt. But he forgave me nonetheless. And I thank Jesus, and I thank my Lord for his grace, for his mercy, and I thank him that it's new every day. There's not a day that doesn't go past that I cannot say I am not grateful, because I am grateful to the Lord Jesus for what he has done. And so praise the Lord. That's our lesson for tonight. So let's just close in prayer and let's commit ourselves to God, and let's think about our own hearts, what God wants us to deal with in our own lives as we pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that in the most difficult moments of our lives that we would do what is right, that you would show us through these difficult moments what you're trying to teach us. Show us, Lord Jesus, those things that you need to reveal in our hearts, in our lives, so that we can become better people, better Christians, to live a better life for you, Lord Jesus, to be the best version of ourselves. I pray that we would take measures to prevent sin from entering into our lives, that we would put in stopgaps and gates that would be warnings or red lights that would flash in our lives to tell us that, to remind us that we shouldn't be doing these things. I pray that you would guide us in your word, in your truth, in the fellowship of the saints, that, Lord Jesus, we would be ready to listen to you. I pray that if we have conflict, that, Lord Jesus, we have unforgiveness that we need to deal with, I pray that you would give us strength, that you would give us peace and understanding. Lord, that you would help those who need to let go, as it were, to let go. That, Jesus, you would give them the strength to do so, that as they let go, you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would fill them with a peace beyond understanding, that you would fill them with hope, knowing that you are with them and that you are taking care of the situation. And I pray most of all that you would deepen our walks with you, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to have a deeper relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to walk each day like you're coming back tomorrow. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be in your presence, to be strengthened by you. We pray all of this in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.